Hello again. This is Larry Bonchek, and I'm speaking with Dr. Bonnie Knox, who's the Vice President of the Institute for Professional Development at Lancaster General College. The Institute is one of those remarkable and lesser-known assets of Lancaster General Hospital. It's the sort of thing that actually most institutions don't have. And it is exactly what its name implies. The Institute for Professional Development is a series of programs that's available to both the nursing and medical professionals at Lancaster General Hospital, as well as to the administrative staff. The Institute provides a comprehensive series of teaching programs in which employees can enhance their knowledge base and their leadership skills in a variety of disciplines ranging all the way from computer technology to bedside patient care. So first of all, Bonnie, let me welcome you to the journal microphone.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, before we talk about the Institute, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your own background and education before you came to Lancaster General.
Absolutely. I received my undergraduate degree from Bowling Green State University, and believe it or not, it was in fine arts, and my parents were worried I'd never be able to make a living, so I got a dual degree in education from K through 12. One thing that I found that I really enjoyed after I took on my first teaching stint in high school is I developed an adult education program, and I loved teaching adults. So I decided to go back to school, and I went back to school at Penn State University and received my master's degree in training and development. I found an opportunity to work with Fred Pryor Organization, but also I had the opportunity to develop leadership and management training for the federal government. And I have been adjunct faculty for the federal government through a variety of agencies for over 15 years. One thing that I found as I was working with the federal government that credentials were important, so I went back to Penn State and received my PhD in workforce education and development. I had been working as a consultant. I connected with LGH through Penn State University because at that point in time also there was a vacancy at Penn State University in their management development program, and I started teaching for them.
And then once you started consulting for LGH, they offered you a job. And that was how long ago?
I started as a full-time employee at Lancaster General 4 years ago.
So you were hired as a full-time employee and tasked with developing our leadership training programs.
Exactly. We have leadership education as well as the clinical education that we provide and continuing education.
What is your target audience now with the Institute for Professional Development? Because I suspect that many people do not really understand what you're doing.
I think you're right. And I think that we've really had a branding issue for ourselves to really make folks aware of what we offer. Because we, in a given year, probably provide education to over 15,000 Lancaster General health employees, because we cover not only the Lancaster General Hospital, women's and babies, but we also cover the campus as well as all the ambulatory sites.
You say 15,000. How does that break down? How many of them are nurses? How many, et cetera?
Just to give you an indication, recently, during the last 7 month period, we had over 262 new registered nurses that go through our nursing orientation that we're in charge of through IPD.
Those would be new employees.
Brand new employees.
Either new grads or people who come from elsewhere.
Correct.
And how long a course is that?
Nursing orientation is really 7 to 8 days as we put them through nursing orientation.
Well, I ask that question because that puts in perspective some of your other programs. You may have a program that's just an evening.
Correct. We could have a program that's an hour and a half. We also have one of our leadership programs that consists of 4 modules. Each module is 24 hours.
And that could go on over the course of...
It's usually a 2-year commitment. We vary from offering certification courses. We provide the CPR education as well as ACLS, PALS.
It could be an hour a week for 10 weeks.
Correct.
There are a variety of structures depending on the material and also the composition of the class. Some people cannot commit to one day. Other people can say, well, I'll do it on Saturday.
Absolutely. And our goal is to really meet the needs of a 24/7 population. So we have to offer classes that are on day shift, on evening shift, on night shift. We offer seminars on weekends so that we make our education accessible to the learner. So we have a Center for Clinical Education where we prepare not only the new GNs that are entering into our system, but we offer ongoing education for nurses to maintain their certification and also to grow in their profession. Our goal is to really create a proficient practitioner and to create an interest in lifelong learning. The one component that we've added most recently to our educational offerings is online education, because we feel the need for some of the nurses to continue their education, especially with the new nursing requirements to have 30 CEUs to maintain their licensure. So we've contracted with one of our providers to be able to offer online learning for nurses to access and still collect some of their continuing education units. And they can do that at home.
How big a faculty do you have?
It's interesting because our faculty is heavily predominant in meeting the needs of the clinical folks. And so we have 26 educators that meet those needs. Overall, we have 35 FTEs.
And those people are doing only the Professional Development Institute work. They are not also teaching at the college to undergraduate nurses?
No, they're not. Our goal is to really provide the top-notch education to Lancaster General Health employees. Now, our folks, especially the ones that are master's prepared or bachelor's prepared, can work and teach on an adjunct basis at the college, but that would be in addition to the regular job.
Now, since we've brought the college into the discussion, when you first came here, you were simply a department of the hospital.
Correct.
And then you became part of Lancaster General College.
Right.
How long ago?
We're coming up in 2 years in July.
Okay. And how did that come about?
When we got a new CEO, after Tom was here, and he really started to understand what our goal was as far as providing education to the staff here, as well as what the college was doing, he really felt that there was an opportunity for alignment of education. Here we had a college that was two blocks down the street, and they were providing similar education to what we were providing. And he really thought if we could align education, we could avoid some of the duplication of effort, and again, really work collaboratively with some of the top-notch faculty that we have at the college, help develop our folks, and continue to provide better education to our employees.
How common is this model? I mean, do you know of other places that have this kind of a comprehensive, coordinated, integrated institute for professional development within the confines, basically, of a community hospital?
I don't. And we started to take a look at different models, and certainly we've been examining other models for us to benchmark as well as to really learn from other organizations. I think one of the things that Mr. Beeman usually says is that in very few places do you have a healthcare system that owns a college. So it's rather unique.
It's something that needs to be more common because it elevates the level of practice. But it also must be very costly for the hospital because Lancaster General employees do not pay tuition.
Correct.
So how is the college funded? It's just an expense?
One of the things that we did when we moved to the college is that our institute, obviously we took like 35 employees and we plopped them under the college. And so what we do is we bill back to Lancaster General for our services. So we keep track of how many people attend our conferences, we keep track of how many hours our clinical educators are providing education, and we actually have a fee for service that we bill to the hospital.
So you're providing a service to the hospital for its employees, and the hospital pays.
Correct.
The tuition, so to speak.
Correct.
Now, getting back to my previous question, since most institutions do not have this kind of thing, surely they have courses that will teach their employees how to do CPR or
right.
things like that. There are things you have to do simply to meet minimum requirements. But for those institutions, and we've established the fact that that means most similar institutions, how do they provide continuing education to their employees?
I really believe that Lancaster General is extremely fortunate to have made that kind of commitment to education. When I talk to other hospitals, especially other local hospitals, they may have a very small department that provides education, or they contract out for those particular services.
And who could they contract with? Do they contract with you?
Well, actually, they send some of their employees to our classes because they really have a difficult time finding folks to be able to deliver the education when they need it. They will contract with local universities that the universities will come in and provide some of the education. So what happens is they offer the necessary education, but not the developmental education that folks are looking for today.
I guess if you are providing any training programs that lead to certification, you have the accreditation, particularly because you're part of the college now, it must be a lot easier to do.
It is a lot easier.
What would be an example of some certifications?
Well, we're a PSNA provider, which means, again, that many of our clinical classes have the Pennsylvania State Nursing Association approval to be able to award continuing education hours. We have, of course, certified ACLS, CPR, PALS instructors that we provide that certification. Additionally, we have certification for EMT and paramedic programs that we also run.
The last thing I'd like to get to, because we could obviously go on all day if we start to explore the breadth of your programs, and I will just say parenthetically that anyone who wants to know more about the programs that you offer, it's all on the web, and to be specific, it's on the Lancaster General College website, because that's what you're part of. So if anyone goes to lancastergeneralcollege.edu, there is very clearly on the left side of the screen a link for professional development, and that gets you into all of the programs and the course catalog and so on that the Institute offers. But I do want to recognize the fact that most of our audience are physicians. And physicians are notoriously disinterested in making the time commitment that is needed to develop leadership skills. They will go to meetings and spend 3 or 4 days away from their practice to enhance their clinical knowledge and clinical skills. But most doctors just kind of assume that they are natural born leaders and don't need any kind of training and don't realize the complexity of leadership. So what are you doing for doctors in the way of leadership? What's been your experience?
When we first started our leadership education, it was kind of a trial, and the real benefit was that folks were working together throughout different departments in the healthcare system, and they created a network of colleagues that they could look to get things done, to bounce ideas off of, to develop a different perspective around a holistic model of healthcare. One way that we started to engage physicians from the very beginning of our leadership classes is we asked them to be speakers. And it was amazing to see the respect that they received just by standing up in front of an audience, but also how important it was for the clinicians as well as just the operational folks to have established a relationship with that physician. It has to make getting good patient care easier for all of them because they can talk to folks and they can bring up ideas that perhaps they wouldn't feel comfortable in doing so. That was our first foray, and it was so well received that as we started to progress with our leadership training, there was a recognition of a need for physician leadership. And Dr. Monty Duke had contacted the college to work with him to create a leadership academy for physicians. And I think that as we develop the content and as we start to encourage physicians to really play a more active role, to really engage them in not only taking leadership classes, but then being able to communicate their expertise to other folks in our own facility, it can only help. Because like you said earlier, folks have to work together as a team.
Yeah, but do we have organized courses yet?
We do. The leadership courses started in November 2008, And we've had two sessions now for the Physicians Leadership Academy. There's another one coming up in
February. How many people are enrolled?
24.
Now, if a physician is enrolled in this leadership program, what is the time commitment?
We offer programs pretty much every month throughout the year, and the total commitment is approximately 40-plus hours for the year.
And that breaks down as what, something like 4 hours a month for 10 months? Is that day or night?
Well, actually, we have a combination of programs as we're piloting this to see what's going to meet the needs of our physicians. We have some morning programs and some evening programs.
So it's still a process in evolution.
Correct.
How have doctors responded to this?
They really have enjoyed it. We do an evaluation after every event, and they seem to be extremely engaged. We've had some world-class speakers that they've had the opportunity to listen to and also have a very intimate experience. By keeping the cohort to 24, they had the opportunity to really interact with the speaker. Okay. So far, all of the responses have been positive.
And have the doctors who've enrolled been self-selected, or has the hospital sort of nominated them to attend?
A physician team has nominated the first cohort.
A physician team, mm-hmm. meaning a group of physicians who are hospital employees?
Correct.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that this is an extremely innovative and unusual institute. And it's clearly got to be a major asset to enhancing the quality of care and the sophistication of leadership of people who work here. What do you see going forward? Where do you want to be in 10 years?
I think we have the opportunity to be world class. I would like to make sure that we offer our classes not only to Lancaster General Health employees, but also to any of the local hospitals. I would like to be known for leadership education. I think that especially as we start to create more online courses, we're going to have the opportunity to tap into other markets.
Do you have an employee who is an expert and dedicated to online teaching?
We have several employees. We have two people that are in charge of our online learning, and they provide that online learning to over 7,500 employees.
Well, that's clearly where the future is going to go, because
Absolutely.
Then you can serve an area that's limited only by the size of the planet once you go to online learning.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, this has been tremendously interesting, Bonnie. I want to thank you not only for coming to the microphone, but for coming to Lancaster General and for expanding the scope of what we can do and expanding the scope of what every employee can do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.